Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is segment 2. In today's trial of Adam Montgomery on firearms charges, he is accused of also killing his 5-year-old daughter, which will be tried in an upcoming trial very soon. Let's go to the courtroom.
All right. All rise for the jury, please.
Rise for jury.
Please be seated. Attorney Smith, does the defense wish to call any witnesses?
Yes, Your Honor, we'll call First Officer Runini. If you could raise your right hand, do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth under pain and penalty of perjury?
Yes, ma'am.
Please have a seat. And could you state your name and spell it for the recorder?
It's Kenneth Brunini, B-R-U-N-I-N-I.
Sort of apparent by what you're wearing, but could you tell us what you do for a living?
I'm a Manchester police officer.
How long have you been a Manchester police officer?
Almost 16 years.
And what is your position within the department?
Currently, I'm a sergeant in the patrol division.
And what are the duties of a sergeant in the patrol division?
To supervise the police officers, to enforce the rules and regulations of the state of New Hampshire, and investigate crime.
Okay. I'm going to turn your attention to October 3rd of 2019. Did you respond to the Franz home at 252 Russell Street?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you recall what time you responded there?
I'd have to look at my report. I don't remember off the top of my head the time.
So if I showed you a copy of your report, would that help refresh your recollection?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
It is.
And does that refresh your recollection about what time you arrived?
It does, almost 9:45 in the morning.
Okay. And in the morning, you did
yes,
say?
Ma'am.
9:45 in the morning. While you were there, and I have to limit some of the questions that I'm asking of you, okay? Did you receive a list of items claimed to have been stolen?
Yes, I did.
And who did you receive that list from?
Christopher.
And do you recall what the items were on the list?
Yes, I do.
What were they?
It was one pistol, one rifle, one shotgun, a wedding ring, a watch, and then subwoofer speakers.
Okay. Was Kimberly Fran, did she come to the house while you were there?
I believe so, yes.
And did you speak with Ms. Fran about the missing items that were on that list?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
And did she tell you, what did she tell you about whether she was aware or not of any of the items being stolen?
She told me she was not aware of the items being stolen.
Okay. Did she explain to you what happened to any of the items?
No.
Okay. So did you ask her about the items on the list?
I asked her, yes, I asked her what had happened.
And did she tell you whether or not she was involved?
Sustained.
May we approach?
Yes.
I've understated, Your Honor. Objection withdrawn.
So when you spoke to Ms. Fran about the items on the list, and I think I asked you what she said and you answered, and then I asked if you asked her again. So that's what I'm focusing on. The second time you addressed the items on the list, right?
Okay.
I've confused you.
I'm confused, yeah, sorry.
Okay. So I'm trying to go to something very, very specific. One of the items on the list was the ring, right?
Okay. Yes, it was.
Okay. And did she tell you that she had nothing to do with the disappearance of the ring, one of the items on the list?
I don't recall that specifically.
Go ahead.
I believe when I was speaking to her, it was in regards to all of the items.
Okay.
Nothing specific, individual.
So you talked about each of the items, and she said that she didn't have anything to do with those items' disappearance.
Correct.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that question and that answer involve a prior inconsistent statement. When I give my instructions to you, I will give you an instruction about prior inconsistent statements. But what I will tell you is you cannot consider the prior statement for its truth. The prior statement is to be considered by you in determining, in using it to determine whether or not to believe a witness. Okay, so it's not a prior statement in this context is not to be used to determine whether or not that particular statement is true, but rather it can be used by you in determining whether and to what extent you believe a witness. So it's for the purposes of credibility.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. No further questions.
Your Honor, if you don't mind me asking from the table, I'd like to.
No, that's fine.
Officer Bernini, can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you, for some reason you can't hear me, please let me know. I'll be happy to speak up.
Yes, sir.
I just have two quick questions for you. When you spoke with Kimberly Frain, in speaking with her, did you make her any offers or promises in exchange for her sharing this information with you?
No.
And also, did you do a check for security cameras around the house?
I did.
In fact, you found there were no security cameras at that house or around that house. Is that right?
Correct.
Thank you. I have no further questions for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You said that you made no promises or offers to Ms. Fran, right?
Correct.
You actually had no agenda walking in other than to investigate that case.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay. You may step down.
Thank you.
I'd like to call Officer Slocum. Oh, may he be excused?
Yes, he may be excused.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth under pain and penalty of perjury?
I do.
Have a seat, please. Could you state your name?
My name is Eric Slocum.
And could you spell your, actually both names?
Eric is spelled E-R-I-K, Slocum is S-L-O-C-U-M.
And what do you do for a living?
I work as a police officer for the City of Manchester.
What is your position there?
I'm a patrolman on the midnight shift.
And how long have you been with the Manchester Police Department?
7 years now.
And what are your duties as a patrolman?
As a patrolman, I respond to calls for service, investigate crime, arrest offenders, and deal with other kind of quality of life issues that might arise.
And were you in the street crime unit for a bit?
I was assigned temporarily on an overtime basis for about maybe 1 year with the Substance Abuse Reduction Group, where I got to work alongside detectives within our Special Enforcement Division, which is our narcotics unit.
And what you said about a year, what year was that?
2019.
I'm going to turn your attention to 2019. Did you, specifically December 19, 2019, did you have contact with a Kimberly Frame?
Yes, I did, while on a midnight shift patrol.
And what was the nature of that contact?
About half an hour after midnight, I responded to the Shell station on Hanover Street as the clerk there had called 911 saying a female was passed out in a vehicle.
And did you investigate the female passed out in the vehicle?
Yes, I did.
And did you subsequently arrest her?
I did.
And what were the charges?
Just one count of possession of crack cocaine.
Okay. And it was possession as in it was on her person at the time that you arrested her?
At the time I arrested her, it was directly where she was sitting in the driver's seat.
Okay. Now, when you, did you subsequently speak to Ms. Frain?
Yes. She was transported to the station via the wagon. And then in booking, I processed her, which was doing fingerprints, photos, and a basic search.
Did you end up talking to her about a prior investigation into missing guns from her home?
Yes, I did.
And did she give you some statements about how those, what she knew about how those guns came to be missing?
Yes, she did.
And at that time, what did she say about how those guns came to be missing? May we approach?
Yes.
To the extent the objection is not withdrawn, it is overruled.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk to you, ask you some questions about specific statements Ms. Frain made to you about those missing guns. Did she give you a name of someone involved with the gun?
Yes, she stated Anne Montgomery was involved.
And did she say anything about when she I'm just trying to phrase the question right. What did she say about Adam being at her house?
She said that Adam was at her house the night when the firearms were taken.
Okay. And did she say anything about where, did she say anything about moving the guns that night?
She did.
What did she say?
She said she moved the firearms as Adam was staying on a couch at her residence that night.
Okay. And did she say what Adam was doing that night?
Adam was sleeping on a couch that night.
Okay. And did she say how long he was sleeping on the couch that night?
I don't believe she gave a specific time frame of when he was sleeping on the couch that night.
Did she say whether she saw Adam in the morning?
No, she left for work that morning and left Adam at the residence.
Did she say whether she said anything to Adam as she was leaving the residence in the morning on the way to work?
Yes, she told Adam to lock the door behind her.
Okay. So what she told you in December was the two of them were there. She had moved the guns. Adam and she went to sleep. And presumably, Adam is still there in the morning because she told him to lock the door as she left.
Yes.
And she claimed that she was going to work, and that's why she told Adam to lock the door as she left.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as I said to you earlier, a prior inconsistent statement in this context is to be used by you only in determining the credibility of the witness, not for the truth of the statement itself.
Thank you. Officer Slocum, I have just a couple of quick questions for you. When you first interacted with the responded to that 911 call, and that was a call because somebody had reported that an individual was passed out in a car, sleeping in a car, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So when you're responding to a call about that, one of your initial concerns is always the health and safety of the individual, is that correct?
Absolutely.
And when you spoke with Kim Frame that night, in fact, I think your report documents, you noted that she was drowsy, right?
Yes, sir.
You noted that she was lethargic?
Yes, sir.
You noted that she told you she was sleeping?
That's correct.
And before she said that, even when you first saw her, you saw that she was sleeping, right?
Correct.
No further questions, Your Honor. Thank you, Mr. Slocum.
Nothing further.
You may step down.
Thank you.
Any objection to this witness being excused?
No, Your Honor.
All right, you may be excused.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the defense has now rested, so it is time for closing arguments. You can proceed whenever you're ready.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. When you rely on a lie, you reach the wrong conclusion. Kim Frame lied. She lied about the missing guns. She lied about the .45 being in her car. She lied when she was asked about bartering guns for money. She lied too about the long guns and moving them. She lied to protect herself and Ish. The state's case relies on lie after lie after lie. And the police in this case reached the wrong conclusion. Adam Montgomery did not steal the firearms from the Frame's residence. He did not possess or control those firearms that were missing, nor did he possess, maintain, or dispose of those firearms. Chris Frame told you that on Sunday, September 28th, all four of the firearms were in his bedroom. He told you that the two were under the bed, wrapped in blankets, AR-15, and the 12-gauge shotgun. Two in his dresser drawer, the .45 and the .380, both handguns. He then left for his business trip to New York, and he told you that generally he leaves on Sunday nights and returns on Fridays. But this time, he told you, he returned on October 2nd. That was a Wednesday. That was early. Kim Frame only learned that Chris was returning when he called her from the road, and Kim panicked. While Chris was away, she had been using drugs heavily. So heavily that she had gone through all of her money, but she was sick and still needed more drugs. You heard from Mike Sullivan what dope sick feels like. You're sweating, you're sick, you don't have control of your bowels, and your whole body is in pain. Kim called Adam to see if he had any drugs, but Adam was out as well. Adam drove to Kim's house and they both made calls to see if they could get drugs. Kim called Ish. Kim told you that Ish was one of her dealers and that Ish would drop guns off at her house. During her testimony, she told Attorney Smith, but she wouldn't call Ish if she didn't have money. When pressed on it, she agreed that if she didn't have money, she would barter. She and Ish had bartered for drugs before. She had allowed Ish to use her car in exchange for drugs, and she had allowed Ish to use the 380 in exchange for drugs. And we know that Kim got her drugs when she was sick. And we know that because when Chris came home, he never mentions that Kim is sick. And when Mike says she came over to the house the next morning, he never mentions that Kim was sick. Kim knew that she could barter for the drugs, and she did. Not only the 380, but for Chris's prized possessions. Not for sale, but to be used while Chris was away, like she had done before. So when Chris received that call from, when Kim received that call from Chris that he was headed home, she freaked out because Ish still had the guns. Chris told you when he got home, he checked on those guns because he was going to the shooting range and he didn't trust him. You heard him testify that before this, he had noticed that money was missing and other small items. He also said that he knew Kim was using. And when he checked the guns, three of them were gone. But curiously, the .45 remained in the dresser drawer. The gun that Kim liked, the gun that she told you she had carried, the gun that was in the same drawer as the 380. But the 380 was missing. And the gun that was of the highest value, Chris told us that the 45 was worth about $1,000. Chris immediately became suspicious of Kim. And Chris was pissed. Kim told you that he tore the house apart looking for the guns, and he asked Kim repeatedly where they were. She denied knowing anything and kept repeating they must have been stolen. But Chris wasn't buying that story. Chris had a dog that barked when anyone came into the house. He did not believe that there was any way someone came into the house unnoticed. He also didn't believe that no thief would have taken one gun out of the dresser drawer and left the other behind. Kim knew more than she was saying, and Chris told Kim that if the guns weren't back, he was calling the police. That meant trouble for Kim. The next morning, Kim went to Mike Sullivan's house. Mike could help her get the guns back. She told Mike that Ish had stolen the guns from her house. Mike contacted Ish, but Ish told Mike the guns were not stolen, that Kim had exchanged them for drugs. When Kim was at Mike's house, Chris Rain called the cops. And Chris called Kim while she was still at Mike's house to come back and talk with the cops. That's when Mike Sullivan knew that the police had been called. And he let Ish and Manny know the police had been called. at that time, Ish had to get rid of the guns. You heard from Mark Reed that it's pretty commonplace for users and dealers to be able to flip guns. He told you that he had done it for money. You get a cheap gun and then you flip it and get money for drugs. Ish contacted Adam to help him get rid of the guns fast. Having the cops around put everyone in danger. In danger of getting arrested for using, selling, or whatever else people do when they are getting high. Adam didn't need the guns to possess them or move them. Excuse me. Adam did not need the guns to move them. He had photos of the merchandise. You heard Mark Reed tell you he saw the photos. Adam started making calls as soon as possible. The sooner they moved the guns, the better. He called people. You heard Mark Reed said Adam contacted him about the guns. You also heard that while they were negotiating, the guns were gone. Another deal had been made. Adam messaged him too late. The guns were gone, and everyone's problems were solved. In 2019, the police do no further investigation into the missing guns. Even though you heard from Detective Bergeron Rosa that on October 22nd of 2019, about 2 weeks later, the AR-15 was recovered at John Sargent's house. After they were surveilling the residence, the SWAT team had gone in, anticipating that there were weapons and drugs. And they told you that John Sargent had been convicted of arms trafficking. John Sargent had the AR-15, other guns, a crossbow, and brass knuckles. But even after recovering this AR-15 that belonged to Chris Frame, there was no further investigation into the missing guns. The idea that the guns were around for weeks is not reasonable. The guns had to be gone fast, and they were the same day. Too late. They were not found on Halloween being sold to two white guys, and they were not in the trunk of Adam's car. You also heard that in 2019, Kim was arrested. Officer just testified to that. And they spoke to Kim about the guns, and at that time she gave the police another story. This one was about Adam being at the house, her moving the guns behind the couch to be closer to her daughter, her leaving for work in the morning, and telling Adam to lock up. She mentioned that Adam was there that night. She hadn't mentioned that before, but the police did no further investigation. You heard that Mike Sullivan was arrested in November 2019 for drugs. You heard that the Manchester Police Department took him into custody and began telling him that they were going to take his kids. Mike told you, they told him, your kids are gone. Mike doesn't want to lose his kids, and he tells the police what he knows. He talks about the Frains missing firearms. He says Ish and Manny took the guns, and he mentions Adam. But in 2019, the police do no further investigation into these missing guns. The police do nothing about the missing guns until Adam Montgomery is arrested in 2022. And that's why you're here today. Because in 2022, the Manchester police were involved in a separate investigation. In 2022, the Manchester police wanted information about Adam Montgomery. In 2022, the police wanted Adam arrested and incarcerated. And the police begin to build their case to that end. And how do they do this? They look back at the people Adam was around in 2019. They look at the people who had had police contact with them. And they began contacting people in Adam's circle. They start with Kim Frame. And Kim tells them another story. Adam came over, she fell asleep, she woke up, Adam was gone, the guns were gone, but there was a crack pipe on the table. She doesn't tell them about Ish or Manny, and she doesn't tell them about bartering for guns. She continues to protect herself and her dealer. I'll remind you that when I spoke to Chris Frayne about Ish, he agreed that he was scared of Ish and did not want to have any interactions with him. He too failed to tell the police about Ish until they asked him. And it was only then that he told them that Adam had told him Ish and Manny had taken the guns. The police go back and talk to Mike Sullivan again. In March of 2022, the police are actually looking for Mike because he didn't appear in court. He told you that he was supposed to go to rehab, but left court and continued to do drugs. You heard about the police raiding the house he was in Manchester. And you heard his description of that, Mike describing G.I. Joe style. When the police talk to Mike, this time about the guns, he gives them what they want. He tells them he saw the guns, he saw Adam with the guns, he was there for the sale, and he saw the buyer up close. But when Attorney Smith questioned him, you heard that when the police took Mike Sullivan on the ride-along to corroborate his story, he couldn't even find the house where he said he witnessed the sale. Mike said he got a close-up look at the buyer of the gun Adam had in his trunk, and yet he never identifies anyone, and the police do not do a photo lineup. When asked, Mike tells him he saw the AR-15, and another time he tells them he saw the shotgun. When he testified here, he said he could only see the barrel and the butt, and it was covered in a sheet. Mike cooperated, and you heard that his charges were dropped. The police talked to Kayla. At this time, Kayla was also in jail for the guns. She had charges for receiving the same two guns that Adams charged with. The two guns from the Frayne residence. Kayla told you she didn't do it, and that her and her attorney had gone over the police reports, and that she was going to court to contest the charges at a hearing. Then the state makes an agreement with her. As part of that agreement, she's released on bail. And now Kayla wants to cooperate with the police. And she tells the police what they want to know about the guns. She agreed that when she spoke to the police, she had the benefit of the police reports, she had spoken with her attorney, and she had spoken with others about the case, like Tara Hilbert. After Kayla spoke with the police, the charges of receiving stolen property for the guns were dropped. Her welfare charges were dropped, but she was convicted of perjury, lying to the grand jury during the state's investigation, lying under oath. Kayla Montgomery is a convicted liar. The police then go to Mark Reed. At this time, Mark's in the prison. And he tells the police that Adam did message him about moving guns. Adam contacted him on Facebook Messenger, and he had photos and said he needed to move the guns quickly. Mark tried to negotiate a deal and received a message from Adam too late. Mark told you that he never saw Adam with the guns. He never saw the guns. Just the Facebook message about a deal. The police contacted Kevin LaBelle in 2022. At that time, Kevin was in a halfway house. But the police talked to him about information they had gathered. And the police asked him if he had bought a gun from Adam. And Kevin LaBelle said no. In 2023, the police go back to talk to Kevin LaBelle. This time, he's back in prison. He has a new charge. This time, Kevin tells the police he bought the gun from Adam. He held the gun and he fired it off. Kevin checked all the boxes. And in fact, you saw Kevin LaBelle testify. And he wanted you to know that Adam sold him the gun, he held it, and they fired it. In fact, Kevin gave that answer to almost every question he was asked. But when Attorney Smith cross-examined him, let's think about his ability to remember other information. He couldn't remember what time of year he bought that gun. He couldn't remember what time of day. He couldn't remember his own criminal convictions.
Objection, Your Honor. Facts not in evidence.
Approach. The objection's overruled.
He could not remember where he worked. When Attorney Smith asked him to read his prior testimony, he said he couldn't read it. He had a concussion. But when the state asked him about his immunity letter, and to read that, he had no problem. And he had no problem testifying that Adam had the gun and held it. Kevin LaBelle also got his consideration. In fact, the day before he testified, he told you that he had a felony charge reduced to a misdemeanor, and he received no additional time. You heard from Tara Hilbert. She was contacted by the police, and she told you that she continued to be friends even when Kayla was incarcerated. And her story supported Kayla, but she never saw the guns. The police spoke to her fiance, Josh Zimmerman, 6 months later, and he told you that he had spoken with Tara after her interview, and his story was similar, but he never saw the guns. And what about the physical evidence, the science-based evidence, fingerprints, DNA? An officer told you that he recognized powder as if it had the AR-15 had been tested for prints. He talked about the evidence tape on the box indicating it had gone to the state lab. And yet you've heard nothing from the state about any information or results. What does that tell you? That science-based information does not show Adam had the guns. On April 1st, 2022, Adam was arrested for selling the guns. On April 4th, 2022, Kayla was arrested for receiving the guns. Her charges were dropped after she spoke. The state wants you to believe that all of their witnesses are saying the same thing, but if you look closely at each one of the inconsistencies, each one has a possible motive to help themselves or another. The testimony you have heard is like what I mentioned, a game of telephone. What happened to the guns? Stole, traded, bartered, pawned. what guns? The AR, the 38, the rifle, the long gun, the handgun, the big gun. Who knew something? Chris, Manny, Kim, Mike, Adam, Mark, Kevin, Tara, Josh. Where were the guns? In the attic, in a trunk, at a house, in the walls, in a ceiling. Who bought the guns? Two white guys, a Hispanic guy, two black guys. What were the guns in? A blanket, a sheet, in cases. The state has to prove these charges to you beyond a reasonable doubt. And when you look at the testimony and evidence in this case, there is doubt. The inconsistencies cannot be made into one consistent, believable story. For example, the theft of the guns from Kim's house. You can see this in different scenarios. Kim needed drugs, but she was out of money. She reached out to her dealer-ish, but did not hear back, so she called Adam. But before Adam arrived, Ish came over and gave her the drugs she needed. In turn, she gave him the drugs. Adam arrived. She was passed out from the drugs after being up for 3 days. She bartered for the drugs, allowed the guns to be used, and returned before Chris was home. But Chris came home early. The police were called, and the guns had to get rid of. Or another scenario, Kim called Adam and he came over. They were both in need of drugs. They called for the drugs, but no one came. Adam left before Ish came over, and Kim exchanged the guns for drugs when Adam was gone. Or a third, Adam came over when Kim called. They did drugs. She went to sleep. He took the guns and took them home. If any one of these scenarios is reasonable, then there is reasonable doubt. The same is for the sale of the guns. Based on what you heard, you could conclude that Adam did help Ish in selling the guns based on the photographs. He never had the guns, therefore he did not possess or control them. Or in another scenario, looking at the evidence, you could conclude that Ish came to Adam trying to sell the guns. Adam didn't have money, but offered to help Ish move the guns in exchange for drugs.
Objection, those are facts, not evidence.
Sustained.
If both of these are reasonable, that is reasonable doubt. Anyone can accuse a person, even the police. The police wanted Adam Montgomery. They used the police, you saw during the trial, to try and corroborate their conclusion. The information the police generated using the tools of pressure, threatening, or offering them something they wanted. The evidence that you have heard was manufactured over time for the police. When you base your investigation on a lie, you get the wrong conclusion. At the beginning of this case, you were asked if you could find Adam Montgomery not guilty if the state could not meet their high burden beyond a reasonable doubt. You all agreed that you could. The reason to find Adam not guilty here today is bigger than just Adam Montgomery or any of the other witnesses. It is to maintain a criminal justice system that does not allow the police to make a single conclusion about a person and then conduct an investigation that only looks for the evidence that supports their conclusion and get the result they are seeking. Adam did not steal Chris Frayne's guns. No one did. Kim lied after she had traded them for drugs. When the police were called, the guns had to be moved. Adam made calls to move those guns. This did not require him to possess them. He communicated with people by phone, text, and Facebook message. Drug dealers do not trust their users. The reason that they're in business is because those folks want drugs. Ish was smart enough not to trust anyone with the guns. He controlled what happened to the guns. Adam made the connections with the people, the potential buyers, but he did not control the guns or who got them. We ask you to find Adam Montgomery not guilty.
Your Honor, if we have a moment just to move the television, if the jurors need to take a stretch break.
Excuse me? You want a stretch? This would be a good time.
That wraps up segment number two of today's coverage in the trial of Adam Montgomery. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.